Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. If I can just ask again that people mute their phones as we try to put this on the show website and Y Torah as well. First, in studies, the statements in the Gemara about Tshuva, of course, now as we head towards the final days of Elul and heading towards Rosh Hashanah next week, so all our attention is on Tshuva and the various characteristics of Tshuva. If a person looks at all the various statements of the Gemara and different approaches in the Rambam, and especially in the works of Rav Kook and Arutz HaTshuva, so you see that there's two very different and distinct ways in which Chazal and the Rishonim and the Achronim assume that a person can repent or what's going to drive a person towards repentance. You have a person who, for whom tshuva is a slow process, a very thoughtful process, something that is calculated, something that is a one step forward, one step backwards, two step backwards, until a person finally feels that they change. It's a process that often comes with a certain amount of struggle and suffering along the way. And that's only one model of change, repentance, of growth, that of the slow process. And that's something that all of us in our life, probably even on a daily basis, that we encounter with our own desire to change behavior, whether it be ben adam l'chaverah, ben adam l'makom, whether it be in areas of our own personal development, whether it be in regards to losing weight or in anything of life, it's often that slow process that brings about change. There's a whole different image, and this is something that Rav Kook describes as a barak. It's like a thunderbolt of a person who has been awoken. Person is not necessarily in the process of active change or in active mode of changing a piece of his life. But something all of a sudden comes, touches him, awakens him. So the Rambam says, "Hilchos Teshuvah," that the whole idea of the shofar is that of waking someone who is sleeping, waking the person from his slumber. And this idea that we see throughout, that this idea of a sudden thunderbolt, an epiphany, an awakening, a wake-up call that brings a person towards Teshuvah. I was speaking to a friend of mine and a mentor many years ago, Dr. David Palkovich, and he told the following story about an experience that he had, about a patient that he had. He was seeing a young man who had grown up with a father who was a prominent Rosh Yeshiva, and this young man had very much gone off the derech, so to speak, involved in drugs and all sorts of other serious ventures. And the parents felt that this son, who was the oldest person in the family, could no longer live in the house, and there was such tension and the effect on the siblings. So they had the son go move in with one of their siblings, with the uncle or aunt of this young man. And when it came time to Rosh Hashanah, the young man was seen after Palkovitz, and he asked Palkovitz, "Do you think I should go to shul? And I don't want to be disrespectful to my uncle and aunt, but I don't want to go to shul." So Palkovitz said, "You know what? Don't go to shul. There's no need to push it. They'll understand if you don't want to go. But why don't you at least walk to go meet them after shul and Rosh Hashanah? And you can come to shul and walk home with them. And that at least shows a certain level of respect and a certain level of openness, and just meet them after shul." The next week, the young man comes back in Dr. Palkovich's office, and it's as though he had seen a ghost. Something was totally different about the person. It was clear that something had happened in the course of the last week, and Dr. Palkovich asked him what was wrong or what happened or what. The young man responded that just a few days earlier, he had gone to meet his uncle and aunt in shul, and he got there for the last kolos, and he's standing outside of shul, and he heard the Baal Tokeya blowing the shofar, and he said something just happened to him, calling him back to like a Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, calling him back to his youth, calling him back to like a different time of his life, and just this transformation, this sort of feeling of like an awakening from a slumber, from years of anger, years of distance. And it was that moment that really began the turnaround in this young man's life. And you see this in many places, both in our own lives and in the lives of people that we read about. And I believe that the real avoda, our real effort that we have to make as we go through our life, is to allow ourselves to be open to those moments of inspiration, to not allow ourselves to become so cynical and so hardened and so removed and so encapsulated in faith and so spiritually deadened. So when we have those moments, when those moments come, they move us, you know, they touch us, they awaken us, they bring us back in a way. And as long as we are still, in a way, open to that, soft enough for that, as long as we haven't made ourselves coarse, then the sound of the shofar, the sound of so many other things, the sound of inspiration in our life, can continue to touch us and bring us back. And our avoda is just to allow ourselves to still be open enough, receptive enough, warm-hearted enough, spiritually inclined enough, to continue to pick up on the messages that come our way over the course of the Yom Narayim and over the course of our life. So I give all of us a bracha that we go through often the struggles of tshuva, but we also allow ourselves to feel touched, inspired, and open to the beauty of God's world that has been created around us. Hallelujah, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Amen. Thank you.